Hello, welcome again. Today we are episode 5 of Digital Minds and Dark Dreams, a place where we tell you about all the darks and lights of entrepreneurship and being a human being. So I'm Alicia, an English philologist and dark dreamer.
I'm Cecilia, and I'm the tech savvy growth guru.
And today we are going to talk about know how to leave your shadow towards one side. And this is connected with the ending of episode 4, where if you remember we were talking about multi-potentiality.
You can say polymath, Alicia. That's easier, I think.
Yeah. I know. And there's also called what are the other two terms? There are more terms for this. Romantic learning. No, I'm making it up. We like. I can't remember. Renaissance people.
Renaissance people. Oh, okay.
And the other one is. How was his name now? Yeah, come on, Da Vinci's syndrome or something like this. Because okay. Da Vinci was a polymath. He did a lot of things. If you think about the guy, he painted, he invented stuff, and, you know, he was very multipotential. So he comes from that too. So anyways, that was the other day, and we ended up saying that sometimes we could affect our clients with our own problems.
Yeah, but maybe you should kind of, when we have the title, know how to leave your shadow towards one side. So you talk a lot about shadows. So how would you define shadows, Alicia? Because that is more into the Jungian theory part of it. So how do you define shadow?
This is a tricky one because it's so complex, and the more you learn about the shadow, the more complex I think it gets. But
if I'm a 5 year old and I need to get it, translated?
Yeah, we would say in very, very simplistic terms, if you think about the moon, and this is what Carl Jung said, think about the moon, you don't see all the sides of the moon. You know that there's always a dark side of the moon. And you cannot see your own backside. This is what Marie-Louise von Franz would say. You cannot really see your backside. Maybe other people can tell you about your backside, but you cannot see it. You know, you might get a reflection of it or a picture, but you don't see it directly. And this is what the shadow is part of who we are. So it's part of us, but they are the parts that we neglect, we don't like, we haven't developed enough because we suppress them, because we are told that we need to suppress certain characteristics of our personalities. So they end up in this space. It's more like a space. It's a shadow area. So it's a combination of these traits that we're not proud of. It's also, they're also parts of us that are not so pretty. Obviously, you're not going to go out there showing certain traits because you know that you will be socially not accepted. So all these characteristics of us, we put them in this place and they create a lot of problems. They can create problems at a personal level and they can create problems socially. And from this point on, the conversation gets more and more complicated, but it's important to know, I think, knowing what I know, it's important to be able to face these shadow aspects that we all have, because there's so much information in there about who we are. And we might be neglecting some of that information. There are even people who sell courses based on shadow work.
Yeah.
But that's difficult, and it's risky as well. You know, when I talk to my analyst and I say, oh, let's do some shadow work, she goes, here we go again. Like if this was going and collect some plants or some flowers in the forest, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous exercise because some sides, some parts of our shadow can be so deep in the unconscious. It could be so repressed, so far away, that we don't even identify with that part of us. And it can actually cause neurosis. It can actually cause some mental instability, getting too deep. So to go on this journey, on this shadow journey, you really need to have some work done on yourself, and you need to be guided by an expert. That's what I'm trying to say. That is not just a matter of, oh, let's now try to figure this out by myself. It's not really recommendable.
No, but it sounds a bit like the thing you talk about, shadows, is really similar to what I would define as trauma. Not in a completely the same sense, but it's because it's the kind of the shadow side and the things, it's, as you said, subconscious, the unconscious, and things that had happened that we kind of have suppressed. So it's kind of many things in that part where, for example, for me as a coach, when I talk to my clients, I know that the reason why we do certain stuff in the same way is, like, for example, you're like a hypervigilant. You're always kind of looking at the dangers and always kind of, oh my God, this is going to get bad. This is going to have a bad turnout. There are some things that actually is deep inside you that's kind of based on the trauma that makes you go this way every time. So the way I work with this is that, like you say, working with looking at what is it actually that's there.
Yeah, but there's a difference, and I think that's where we all get confused and we get it wrong. It's not because of trauma. Your shadow is part of who you are. You were born with it.
Yeah, so that's the kind of differentiation between,
The other thing that you're talking about is a complex, which can be similar to the shadow, but a complex is socially created. The complex is the trauma. It comes out because there's trauma, and that trauma comes from experiencing life. It comes from the way you've been brought up. It is true that your shadow gets suppressed because it's not socially accepted sometimes, part of you. It's not that it's good or bad. It has good things and bad things, but you are born. As I said, if you think of the moon, you are born with light qualities and dark qualities. And it's a whole
thing. Front side and the back side.
Yes. You have a back side. Nobody's traumatized you. You haven't got a back side because you've been traumatized. You were born with it. You just suppress that side.
But maybe, Yeah.
So people operate their back side. Yeah. But no, it's a complex thing because the shadow is a functional complex. And that's the difficulty of it. A functional complex is made of a lot of anxiety, desperation. It could be short temperament. It's just traits, personality traits that we all have that we're not proud of. So it can be, so the complex is acquired because of experience, but the shadow or shadow aspects of us, it's not even one thing, it's just many things, they are innate in us. And then you can develop those traits. Some people, Marie-Louise von Francis says that there are criminals, and this is very interesting, there are criminals that they decide to live their shadow life, and that's why they kill, that's why they murderers, that's why they do things that are not socially accepted. But their shadow is the light version of them. It's kind, they have respect for other lives, so the ways of being, for other beings even. So that's kind of
the opposite.
It's the opposite
of what you would normally think that the shadow side is. So their kind of shadow is the good side. And
yeah, but we consider good because it's socially acceptable, what is good and what is bad. Again.
What is bad, yeah. So,
exactly. So she would say that, another example she gives is that that's why police and criminals are like this puzzle, this jigsaw. The police understands the criminal mind because his shadow, her shadow, is that like that, but they have decided to live on the light side, on the accepted side. And the same way that a criminal would have light qualities, more acceptable qualities, and they can also understand when the police is going to try to catch them. And you've heard this saying probably that, you know, the mind of a police person, you think of Dexter. I don't know if you saw the series Dexter. He worked for the police forces, but he had this impulse of killing people. So how did he adapt to society? He killed those who were worse than him, but he punished them. And then he felt that he was doing something socially acceptable. I'm not saying that that's what we need to go out and do, but that's the other example. And it's very complex. The shadow is a very complex thing. So
how would you actually try and connect that with the things we are talking about, like entrepreneurship and business? And so how do we think kind of these two connect?
Yeah, it's complicated, but yeah, let's try to have a go. And I'm going to base everything that is coming today is based on, I mean, this is the Spanish version, but it's called Meeting the Shadow. And I can put the links in. It's full of post-it notes, you see. Because I've got my module tomorrow as well, and the Gothic and the Shadow obviously is the best place for it. But there are different. This book is good because it has different Jungian analysts. So this is the warning that this is from a Jungian analyst point of view, and it's a book full of different essays. For today, I've gathered some phrases that I thought you would actually like because they connected to the world we live in and entrepreneurship, and it's everything. I mean, if we have this aspect of us, obviously that appears in our relationship with others, that appears when we work in. You can't just put it towards one side. It goes with you. It's like your two legs. You don't leave your legs at home. So your shadow goes with you everywhere. So and we do have an individual shadow and there is a collective shadow. And I think for an entrepreneur, it's very important to know both because all the shadows from the societies that we live in affect us directly. And sometimes shadows with shadows get together and we get really real bombs, you know.
Yeah.
So, for example, some characteristics that talking about the collective shadow, which maybe is a very important or very interesting topic for what we do here. For example, we can find the collective shadow in this example. So I can't remember which author says that, but one of them says that when we see scientific amorality, and this is kind of mind-blowing, scientific amorality, the close relationship between business and technology, which shows our uncontrollable desire of increasing our knowledge and domain of nature. This self-righteousness that we have and we impose on the ways we're living, that's shadow. So that's one shadow characteristic. So we're using science we're selling it as something positive for people to work on and so on. And actually, it's based on moral arguments because at the end, what we want is to domain, control. This is shadow. Another characteristic or another place we can find the collective shadow, which I think is very interesting. And you can also think that if at an individual level, you identify with characteristic too. But then there's there's a distorted role and codependent of those who work in professions like doctors, the pharmaceutical. If you think about how pharmaceutical manipulates the necessity for us to buy stuff and be using our health for money. So our health is traded by money, and they can put the prices as high as they want. If you think about countries like America, they don't have the social healthcare. They have to pray for it. It's privatized. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's shadow. So
technology and like almost health is two collective shadows. Is that what you're saying? It's like,
That's shadow. Yeah, that's the collective shadow. Because there's this self-righteousness characteristic on these traits. Initially they were thought to help people genuinely, but they have turned out economical, financial interests, and that's shadow because of what brings out people. Then the apathy of alienated work, which is very interesting to us, and the fast, the way how things become obsolete so fast, so quickly, technology becomes obsolete, platforms become obsolete. This creates this alienated work. And it's what they call in Jungian terms the hubris of success, which we see in the acceleration and the humanization of benefits and benefit of the progress. So everything that means materialistic aids and leaves behind the human being, that's shadow as well. Everything that is growth in order to defect, it's a defect for everything that becomes a trade, mercantile, consumerism, all that is shadow. We live in a shadow society, really. The monsters are not in the films. The monsters are out there. We live in this monstrous world. This is not very compensated. The consumerism, as we said before, the publicity abuse, these, when we are constantly advertising ourselves, and that's why so many of us have got this marketing rejection. You sometimes say, but you can make it, we can make good use of this. Yeah, but it feels abusive. It's constant brainwashing people to sell. Not for the right reasons, it's but I want you to buy. And I know that's my shadow, and you've picked on it many times. Yeah, Lithia, we're trying to help. And I'm saying, no, I'm selling. My shadow is out there. And that shadow. And the first thing to do with it is recognize that that shadow is there. It's a shame.
Yeah, because I actually wrote down now, it's like when you say technology is one of our collective shadows. And I'm thinking the first thing is like for entrepreneurs, it's like, but technology, of course, it's always kind of, as you say, a backside and a good side, bad side, good side, shadow, light, whatever we call it. But as you say, we have all the discussions, especially here in Norway. It's all this, in regards to AI, for example, who is controlling AI? Who is controlling this? Because yes, it's a good tool. It's a great tool. It can help. It can help so many people. But at the same time, who is actually controlling this, that it's not being used for the wrong reasons?
And it's not the tool itself.
No.
The tool itself is like everything is, this is another very important point that you're bringing up, because the atomic bomb, Jung would say that we all have this diamond inside of us, which I was telling you before, which is not a demon, by the way, it's a genius, it could be interpreted in Christianity as a god, it's a guide, it's your soul's guide. And it doesn't understand about social rules or anything. It just is, right? It's very powerful. It's like a genius. And Jung would say that if we follow this genius inside of us, this voice, this I need to do this, you get examples of these like Einstein. You get all these inventors. You get this Newton. You get Beethoven. You get all these really fascinating, very intelligent, smart people that make something really, really distinguishable. What Einstein didn't know about the atomic bomb or other people about things, objects, and items and inventions that have killed thousands of millions, they felt guilty of that genius that they had inside. And it wasn't their fault. It was how these tools were then used by others who had not integrated all the elements of their shadow sides, that they were absolutely ruined by all these negative aspects. And that's how we get worse. So we have to be very careful, because it's not the tool that is bad, it's how you use it. And I think
it's the people using it.
Correct. The use that we make of it, yes. But In simplistic terms, we always say everything that is used, everything that you consume too much of is bad for you. If you eat only potatoes, then you're going to have problems with your proteins and you're going to have problems with your sugars. If you only eat sugars, then you're going to have problems, you're going to be diabetic, yeah. You know.
Again, it's the balance.
Correct.
Yeah, we always come back to balance, yes. I think, in our episodes. It's kind of balance, yeah.
Yes, yes. And every argument that we bring into the table in each episode, it comes back to that, to the balance. Okay. But we need to know about this dark side, these dark aspects and characteristics of us and our collective societies to do something about it by discovering it. Just by being aware of them, we can already Absolutely. Do something about it.
Yeah. And that is also what I talked about as well, whether the coaching is like being aware, like going from the unconscious to the conscious. It's like being aware of your shadow yeah. sides. You're picked in my shadow sides as well. And it's like, I don't have, okay, I have that one. No, I don't have that one. Yeah, I do have that. But it's just being aware. And sometimes you are aware, but when, as you say, you use professionals to kind of, because it's so much easier to kind of know, okay, if somebody pinpoints like, okay, this it's something here, and yes. having somebody to have the dialogue with that's kind of knowing what they're speaking about and being able to guide you and say, okay, as you do with, for example, Alicia's interpreting some of my dreams.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, but it's like all these I had a dream with John Bon Jovi, everyone, so that was a good one. I was like, what? And the way kind of Alicia helped me kind of make sense of what this meant. And just the other day, like a really, really short one, and she says, oh, this makes so much sense. And I was like, what? Okay. So, but it's kind of digging into the stuff that you might know it's there, but it's just being aware that it is there and kind of, oh, okay, this is, as I do with my clients as well, as I said, in regards to if it's trauma or whatever it is, but we have all these triggers. So yes. So maybe there is something triggering you, if that is your shadow side, or if it's trauma or whatever it is, it's just being aware that, this is actually a huge trigger for me. Because if Alicia uses, for example, a word, or she says something, she does something, just something, and it triggers me. And yes. then I go like, I get angry, I get sad, I get frustrated, whatever. It kind of triggers something in me. And if I'm not aware, then it's kind of completely lost. But if I'm aware that this is something that triggers me, and you say something, even though it triggers me and I can have the reaction, I can actually go, oh my God, I did it again. Because that yeah. is how I work with my clients as well. It's actually becoming aware of what is actually, like if you say your shadow side or your triggers or your something that kind of makes you go in a way that you don't want to go. For example, I think we talked about this in before this session. How can you help your clients? Say you have a client that actually sitting there and telling you something, and this client triggers you, something in me or in you, and we have a reaction or something, oh my God, and you actually bring that on your client, which is not a good thing, because you're not supposed to bring your own stuff in there. But we very many times we do that, for example, like in coaching sessions and other sessions. It's like communicating with others as well. We drag our own stuff into it, and it's difficult to disconnect these things because there's so much us, because as you say, we have the light and the dark, or whatever you call it, it's a part of us, so it's difficult to separate it.
Yeah, and it's very important, this awareness, as you say, because then you can identify whether if whatever someone in front of you says makes you jump, and you jump, it could be either a complex or it could be shadow. But if I'm talking to you normally and I say something and you just kind of become like possessed and react to it like that, the other person is like, whoa, what's happened? And you just like, it's not even you, even this doesn't sound like you. They do say there is a complex possession. That's not shadow, it's the complex has come out, which is something that comes from trauma, from a bad experience. right? But then if, for example, I say to you, let's see an example that makes sense. If I say to you, for example, I really hate blondes. I really do hate them. But that could be shadow. That could be because deep down you love to be blonde. So when you project the shadow, you have to say, again, Marie-Louise von Franz gives a beautiful example in one of the interviews. And she says, you know, when this person walks through the door and you go, I hate this person for this, 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 that, and the other. Now take all that that you've said, write it down on a paper, and see if any of those things is you at some point in your life. And it's absolutely overwhelming. Just do the exercise. Every time you criticize someone and that person has done nothing to you, and you criticize it with all your guts because he's like,
yeah,
because they've done anything to you necessarily, they might have, but if you analyze that and then figure out if at some point you have done that, that you are projecting the shadow onto the other or in conversation. So it's very important in coaching, in when we're dealing with clients, to know what's actually a projection from the person to something I've said, or if I am projecting, it could happen both ways. In an analytical situation, is complicated because if you go into your analyst, I've heard of analysts saying, well, that person has said, for example, there was a case, one of the podcasts I listened to, that she said that a man came to being analyzed and he was telling her how he wasn't paying his taxes, how he was working without being legally working, but he was working. And the analyst became really mad at him because why? She's actually finding it very difficult to pay her taxes as a professional. This is shadow, but she didn't project it because being an analyst, she controlled that. And it wasn't the client. You have to be professional. You can't say, you bastard. You can't do that.
Pay your taxes.
She knows that was shadow. And that's the important thing to recognize. Okay, this is what's happening to me.
Yeah.
It's something I need to work on. It's not this person's fault because he or she is trusting me.
With this information, yeah.
But we can't forget that we're also humans. So we're going to have things that trigger us. We're going to have, because we all have a shadow. So,
yeah.
Or various shadow paths, if you want. So it's what is good about this is the awareness, and to maybe figure out, there's a list of moments where we can figure out where our shadow is, and one of these is like what you and I are doing. So because we haven't got bad feelings for each other, and we don't really we love each other very much, so then it's good to have a conversation where I can say, well, Cecilia, even though I when I tell you shadow things of you, it could be that what I see in you, because they are also my shadow parts, and I detect, you can pick on my shadows and I'll pick on yours, but you can't really see yours very well. You can do some work on them to discover them, but it's very difficult to see your own shadows or your shadow side. And when you say, okay, Alicia said this, that's not comfortable, let's sit with that. If it's not comfortable, okay, we've done something, we've touched a nerve. So then you have to take that and write it down, as you said, and see how that sits with you. And it could be that I'm totally wrong, but the fact that you've reacted to this is important, because it also means that how other people see me can be very different from how I see myself. And that shadow again.
It's a constant learning as well. It's like the more feedback you get, that's why I say coaching also is an important thing, because you're in constant learning. It's like, oh, do I actually do that? Do I go there? Do I come forth as this person or this person? I didn't understand that. And if I say it like this, you interpret that. That wasn't my intention. That wasn't so it's kind of the constant thing. And it's, I think, the most
Yes.
important thing when you do, for example, you go to an analyst or a coach or a therapist or whatever, it's like that you're actually open for feedback. You're open to, like, you're having a growth mindset and going there, okay, I'm here to learn. I know that my problems are my problems. I'm the only one who can actually solve them.
Yes.
Because some people coming to, for example, therapy or coaching, I was like, I want to fix all of these. I want to fix my mom, my dad, my spouse, my children. And you go like, we can't do anything with any of those. The only one we can work with is the two of us and
Yes.
you. Yeah. So
Absolutely.
I think that's the most important thing, is like being open to getting the feedback. And of course, stuff is difficult. If you get things that you go like, yeah, I know, yeah, okay. So many of the things you say, I'm totally aware of them, but I haven't really touched in on them, haven't really dug deep in them. So
It
I'm
hurts.
aware of them.
It's difficult. That's why.
It's difficult, yeah. And some things,
Yeah.
it's like there is a time for everything as well. We didn't touch any on that, but it's like sometimes you're ready to deal with stuff. It's like it depending on where you are as well. As I say, I actually just got an app where it's kind of checking my energy. It's really fascinating. I can talk about that in another episode, but it's like, where are you? Where are you ready? Are you ready to do this? So
Yes.
in kind of the process you are in your life as well, is this something I want to touch in on now? Does it help me now, or am I ready? Because the whole thing is like, when I started coaching, I was in a totally different place when I started coaching, and it's a constant development in where I am. And okay, now I'm actually ready to touch in on this. I wasn't
Yes.
there kind of a half a year ago, but I'm now I'm there. Now I'm ready to do this. And then when we kind of come a couple of months going forth, it's like, okay, maybe now I can touch in on this. But it's also, you need to be ready, and you're sometimes aware, sometimes you're not. But usually, when people say something and it triggers you, you know that it's something there.
Yes.
But it's also,
Yes.
as you said, are you ready to actually deal with
Yeah.
this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for everybody it might look different. And I've said me before in other episodes that the fact that I went into Jungian psychology and I'm studying it, and maybe not everything comes out proper because there's an evolution still.
There's
It
always an
was
evolution.
yes, even for
Yeah.
the guys who know and are at the top. And I mean, there's the post-Jungians as well that have a different view of things, and things have evolved. I'm now at the origins of things, but I also read about people who do not agree with Jung, and then I think, well, that might actually align a little bit better, because I also had that kind of thought. But anyway, that's a different topic. But when I decided to start investigating and going into this psychological space, it was because I needed answers. I
Yeah.
needed, and you know that you made me very angry. You met my shadows before you met maybe the light side of me. I mean, maybe I was wearing my mask and smiling all the time, but I was really angry at the world. And when every time somebody like yourself or other people would say, "How can you help others?" the word "help" would trigger all my demons. They would all come out because I didn't want to help anybody. I was fed up of helping and receiving things that were not what I was aiming at. So I had so much work to do on myself first. And I kept saying,
Yeah.
I can only help others when I help myself. And what I meant by that was, I need to understand the human mind. I need to understand what's going on in me every time I get triggered. I need to not jump, but it wasn't healthy. I was really struggling. Because every time someone said something, I wasn't in myself. I became neurotic. I became
Yeah.
like I was a ticking bomb. I didn't know what time I was going to explode. Someone said to me in the street, "Oh, so what do you do?" "Well, I've been an English teacher for a long time." "Oh," because being an English teacher is easy to say than everything else that we said last week. And when people said, oh, the phrase, I've always wanted to learn English, I would go, boom. And yeah. Why aren't you? Oh, and English is so difficult, boom. And I don't have the time, boom. So I was constantly exploding.
Yeah, and that's not good.
No. So I needed a seniors in my life. I needed analysts in my life. I needed to investigate. I needed to know and understand what was happening. And I was in my shadow space so much. And that's why I embraced the Gothic so much. It makes all so much sense.
Yeah, but I think that's the important thing, to find something that makes sense for you. It's like, okay, knowing that you're totally and fully, what is it, responsible for your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own actions. Nobody else is kind of, what do you say, in the driver's seats of your life. That's you. It's you that needs to. So if you kind of notice that you're kind of beating people up or kind of being angry all the time, it's like, maybe you should look into and see, okay, what is it
yes.
that I need to work with? If you have, for example, if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a kind of a boss or a leader, or you just have employees, you're a colleague, and you're constantly triggered by people saying stuff, or not even saying stuff, just looking at you, and you go like, boom. Maybe it's the time to look into stuff and go like, okay, where am I at now?
Yes.
And this is a thing also, because in a way, coaching isn't too well known. It's like personal coaching and business coaching is okay, but not really too many people do the personal coaching. But it's just knowing mm-hmm. that I think everyone needs it, because it's Absolutely. So many aha's. It's so many. It's okay if you don't, it's like, say you meet the same thing over and over and over again, and you go like, oh, my boss is constantly on my back, and then get a new job and it's the same thing, it's the same thing, it's the same thing. I've been into that as well, and going like, okay, why am I meeting the same thing every time I feel like this is the same? And going like, what is it I'm doing, or what is it kind of I am putting out there that's actually giving this back to me every time?
Yeah, and that's a good moment to actually detect that there might be some shadow there.
Absolutely.
When different people that don't know you, all of a sudden they all say the same about you, is because that's a shadow aspect of you that you are neglecting, or that you just blink it to it. But then, yes, you take action, whether you know that it's called shadow or not, you take action. The problem is when you don't take action.
Yeah, but there's so many people out there not taking action. So as we see, for example, in one of my passions is like the mental health aspect. It's so many people not understanding that they actually need to talk to somebody. It's like, it's talking to somebody, going to an analyst, a therapist, or a coach, or whatever. It's kind of a, what do you say, the collective shadow says that you're going to manage everything yourself. If that is something. But I think that is kind of, you're kind of, what do you say, you're not up and running if you're seeing an analyst or a therapist or a, what is it, psychiatrist or whatever, because it's kind of a thing from the society saying that, oh, you have problems then.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it goes to the other point about the collective shadow. There's this generalized narcissism and personal exploitation, which, you know, it says, I can't see without my eyes. So wish and desire to control the innate dimensions of our own existence. I think this is very well connected to what you're saying now. It's even the fact that people refuse to have to become helped by analysts and other professionals, because coaching yourself, because there's this generalized idea of, let's run with it and I'll solve it. It's not exactly what it says in the book, but it's like, we want to, it's almost like we are immortal and we're superhumans, and we're refusing to see that sometimes we do need help, and it's good.
Yeah. We all need help. We all need kind of a help and guidance, and Okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? It's just, I think it's, yeah. And it's
Yeah.
nothing bad. It's just, I have actually a friend of mine who I met when I was working at like this. Yeah, it sounds really bad when you say mental hospital, but it was a mental hospital. And she said something because she's working now as what do you call it? She's kind of working at the mental hospital as a guide for the people. She's not a nurse, she's not a doctor or a psychiatrist, but she's working there and using her what is that, experience. So she
Right.
kind of, could we call it an experience guide or whatever. And she actually just wrote an article that was published in one of the local newspapers here. And she said that it was a really good article where she said, "Oh my God, am I going to the nut house?" Kind of, she said, "I'm not that bad. Am I going to the nut house now?" It's like, so she said that was kind of the stigma from the whole society thing. It's like, okay, now I'm going to the nut house. I'm crazy. I'm going to the nut house. And it's like, okay, we all, as I said to all my clients, it's like we all have a mental health and we all have a physical health. And we need to take care of both. And
Yes.
some of the most, what do you say, reflected people, I must say, are the people I actually met when I worked there. Like people who has been, they have been through so many different things and they know the real downsides and shadow sides and kind of working with themselves and seeing like, okay, this is what actually happens if you don't take your or work with your shadow sides and take things seriously. This is what's going to happen. You, at the end, you desperately need help.
And also, it's very interesting what you're saying about the social stigma, because in past, in other cultures and in ancient civilizations, you know, Marie-Louise von Franz talks about this as well. The building itself, and even Jung had problems when he became a psychiatrist, because the building itself, what you do, you isolate those people who are not socially accepted. They are the shadow of the society. It's like putting away, and I think this is very visual, you put away parts of the shadow. I mean, human beings with mental problems are still human beings. And in initial, you know, in the most uncivilized societies, if you want to call them uncivilized, but not industrialized, maybe, they actually, when they had a family member that, for example, was a bit of kleptomaniac and he used to steal things compulsively, they weren't doing that because they were rotten and they were evil. It's because they couldn't help themselves. But then they were looked after the family house, and they would say to the neighbor, if he or she is stealing something from you, let me know, because he's not really with it. So just tell me and I'll return it to you. So societies in the past, or certain types of societies, would sort things out by themselves. Now we put people, when they started to put people in asylums, it was seen, I mean, they are the main themes and topics of horror films. These doctors drilling on your brain, doing all these lobotomies, and but they had to start somewhere. And when Jung talks about his first years in being a psychiatrist and learning to be a psychiatrist, he broke some rules because he thought there was something really not humane in the way mental health was treated. And it's amazing that we still pay all these people that, you know, they don't make us look pretty. It's like almost like having a family member with this problem makes me look bad. It's not about you. And the same happens with anything, really.
But it's the same thing, for example, if you say, no, that is a really bad, what is it? But say one person in your family commits suicide, the rest of the family feels shame. Like the shame perspective. It's like, why should I, for example, if my mom or my dad committed suicide and
Yes.
chose that for themselves, why should I feel the shame for
Yeah.
something they did?
A social shadow again. Yes,
Yeah.
a social
But
shadow. Absolutely.
it again, it's nothing to do with, say it hasn't happened. Luckily, both my parents are still alive, but say that that thing happened. I know I have many people, like both clients and yeah, that have experienced this, and the thing they kind of sit with is the shame. It's like feeling shame because also the thing, what could I have done like differently? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't why? And also for the people, what do you say, the society going like, yeah, she didn't do enough. She didn't. Okay,
Of
so
criticism, yeah,
yeah.
because we have this health obsession. This is another of the points that is mentioned by one of the essays, that there's a health obsession. There's also with diets, with medication, that makes us live longer, and it's like we have so much fear of death, that's shadow as well, and we want to be perfect, we need perfect lives, and that splits our families, obviously. So yeah, people are not proud of the poor family members that need help, and it's not for them, it's because what are they going to say about me? Absolutely. Yes, this is the narcissistic side of the shadow as well, that
But
we were
that's
talking
also
about.
parenting. For example, like I know people are still like this, but pushing their kids going like, you need to be a doctor, you need to be
Oh,
a
yes.
lawyer, you need to be something because that is makes me look good, because then I am a good parent. If you turn out to be a lawyer, a doctor, or anything kind of with a high, what do you say? People look up to you because you have this or that, but it's for the parent. It's not for the kid. You don't think for their own best. It's because if you do this, it looks good. Kind of pointing back
Yeah,
at me.
they're projecting their own traumas on their kids. So they kind of through the child, they is like a karmic experience for them. If I do with them, it's like they work their trauma through the kid's life, which is terrible,
Yeah.
because when you listen and you read about cases of kids who go to the psychologist, many times psychologists call the parents to the rooms and say, "You need work on you first before we can treat the child." Because if I can't treat the child, and then the child going back to the problem, then
Yeah,
you
to
are the
you.
problem.
So, yeah.
So, and in a lot of cases that I've read about studying psychology, is that in some cases parents had to be treated at the same time as the child, and there are some cases that are terrible because 2-year-olds masturbating is not a normal thing. Exactly. And that's because of the mother, this particular case, the mother wasn't letting go of the child. It was like the child belonged to the mom's body still. So she was calling attention. Some kids call attention with their sexuality that is still not even developed. And but it's starting to, they start to realize what they have and their bodies and everything. And in other cases, the child would try to kill the analyst or the psychologist because the parent's way of treating him or her had some kind of aggressivity in it. So it's so complicated, and there are not many psychologists who want to treat children precisely because they have to deal with the parents. It's too much for one person, and it's risky as well. It's kind of, some kids even jump at the analyst and they might grab a pair of scissors that is there in the office because they just jump, or the kids would just go to the bathroom and just poo all over and make a mess of their own poo. It's not just expressing what is being dumped on them. It's not, they're not born with these things. Most kids are just expressing the best way they can what's going on at home. So that's terrible as well. But we hide it. It's not nice. You will not see parents talking about these kind of problems in the school door.
No, because it's shame and it's kind of, yeah, everything connected to. So, but how do we think then, like the shadow side in regards to, if we're kind of taking it back to the entrepreneurial side?
I think we first need to look at there are exercises that we can start doing to. The first thing is identify your own shadow aspects. It's very easy to see other people's shadows, and we do that constantly. It's just that we don't know it's called shadow. But it's very easy. You see mine, I see yours, and it's the first thing that you see. And we can pick on when people are criticizing, when we are, you know, there's a list of moments where you can identify these. But the first thing is identifying as much as possible these parts of you and how they come up in conversation, how they come up in your everyday life. Because also, if you see the other person's shadow, then you can remove your own responsibility and say, right, this is not me, this is the other person. So in business, for example, being aware of who's trying to lie, or, you know, is very useful, because then you can set in motion different strategies. You can even decide, I don't want this customer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But for example, and then just be happy with that. Don't think, oh, I've lost some money. No, you gain health, mental health. If that person is not willing to do anything about it, then, you know. So feedback from other people is very important to do shadow work. Unveiling the content of your projections, as when you realize that you're projecting, you know, that kind of examples that we gave before. Also, in the way we speak, so the lapsus linguae. So sometimes when you say, oops, sorry, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did.
Sorry, didn't mean that.
But that is a sign that, yeah, you came up with what you were really thinking, your shadow there, and you realize that the other person's reacted, and, oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. And you're trying to sort it out. And so, but that's also a way to say, right, when you're at home, why did I say that? And go down the rabbit hole. Investigate your sense of humor. If you don't have a sense of humor, you have a very dark shadow. So humor is okay. Good because the shadow uses trickery and uses humor to come out. And it's a way. What you need to do with the shadow is to listen to it. If you don't listen to it, it becomes aggressive.
And but there are different ways of humor, like
yes,
what I would call humor is maybe not something. So as long as it's
good to have, sense of humor. Yeah, and then obviously what we're doing, which is to analyze your dreams and your fantasies, and if you're daydreaming, this is a very good way to get to know your shadow, because then if we moved into dream analysis. The one thing that people need to know is that the shadow is always the gender of the dreamer. And the shadow is the opposite of the ego. So your ego is in your consciousness. It's what runs you. It's the thing that we work with. And it's this kind of intermediary between the self, the whole everything, and the world outside and the world inside is this kind of dealer. The shadow is its opposite. So obviously the ego is not going to want the shadow to come into consciousness, but we need to, because sometimes it's not pleasant, but it's important to know at least where to find.
Yeah. Becoming a bit more aware of what actually,
Yes, absolutely. And it's a whole world, and I'm working with the shadow now for tomorrow. I have a course and to use literature as well. Gothic literature is fantastic because all the monsters are shadow figures and they represent parts of us that we don't like, but we are looking at parts of us that we don't like in a safe space. Now, why do you like murder mysteries so much? And what murder do you mysteries. Like? Yeah, like Norwegian killing.
Yeah, the crime, I just told Alicia that one thing about Easter is that in Norway, we have kind of something in which we define as Easter crime. It's just every Easter, it's been like this since the 60s. We look at Easter crime on television, we read like crime thing. I'm really into crime otherwise. But just thinking about Gothic literature, just taking that now, rounding up, but because I haven't really looked at things like Gothic literature. It's just, I know, for example, I told you about this. I read a lot of the books from a couple that's writing together called Kepler, under the pseudonym Lars Kepler. And I love the books, but some people go like, oh my God, they're terrible. It's like loads of murders and deaths and goo and blood and whatever. And I just love them. But again, like before I met you, I didn't think that this is kind of gothic or anything. It's just, I find it entertaining, and I find it. I it's like every time there is a new book from this author, it's kind of 1 or 2 days it's kind of finished. I'm kind of reading it because it's really, but I never defined it kind of as gothic literature.
It would have gothic elements, but obviously that's crime and fiction or black novel. But with gothic, when I say you are gothic but you don't know, it's because for me, for gothicists, gothic is everywhere. Everywhere you have a liminal space, every time you have a portal, every time you have a space that you cannot define, something that is unexplainable, the gothic is there all the time. So what you find in crime novels and what you find is that you have evil characters. When you have mental health, you have the gothic too. So when you have evil characters or you have murderers or you have crazy people, we need those because Marie-Louise von Franz says that they are there so that we can relax. We need those
We
characters.
feel sane and normal.
We free ourselves from guilt. When you're reading a book with these characteristics, the characters are performing maybe parts of you that you're not aware that you have. Exactly. You might have a murderer and you're enjoying it, but you're saying because it's only fiction. And I'm nice to see you helping others, even though sometimes maybe my shadow would like to kill some of my clients secretly.
Never ever.
But it's a safe place to get in contact with your shadow parts. And I think that's beautiful and it's brilliant. And it's taken me years to understand why there's a need for the gothic, why there's a need for crime, why we're so fascinated with murderers. We go, oh, this is terrible. Can I watch a little bit more? We devour programs, and it's because innately we have curiosity for how the human brain works. So if we take that to our entrepreneurial journey, we might be dealing with this kind of people all the time at work, and we need to identify and to understand how the brains work, so then we can and how our brains work, so then we can live happier lives with whatever we choose to do. I'm getting close
But
to
do
my
you think
microphone.
that there
Oh.
is, just thinking about the shadow side and entrepreneurs, do you think there is a specific kind of shadow side for entrepreneurs that they have something similar?
No, I think it's so personal. You as an
Yeah.
individual, you have your shadows, and
I don't
if
have
you
any
think
shadow, but
about
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at this humor, that shadow again, the humor. Yes, it's coming, it's trying to protect, you know, your ego is trying to go, nya, 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 and your shadow is coming now, and your ego, like, nya, 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 just stay there. But no, it's all different to all of us because, yeah, the collective shadow is probably the one that entrepreneurs maybe in Norway would be more or less all similar. They would have the same collective shadow, but then you have your personal shadow. So
Yeah.
we won't be able to say there's like a booklet that we can follow. And also think that it's an archetypal figure. And archetypes are constantly in motion because societies keep changing. So it's not a fixed thing. It's not like it's like when you read your star sign, you have the main characteristics, but
We're all
then
different.
individual, it will work out differently for you because of the hour you were born, because of where Venus is in your house, where Saturn is, and all these other things. It's all connected. It's similar. It's mapping of the psyche in different ways. So I think the novels and films, they kind of is what Marie-Louise von Franz says again, that they have replaced myths and storytelling. And we need these stories to map our own minds. And I think that's beautiful. To map out our unconscious, we need these tools. But we're all different as entrepreneurs. That's why I think it's so difficult to learn how to be an entrepreneur, because it's all different for each of us. We all have different mental maps.
Yeah.
You have to find and figure out your own way at the end of the day, sadly enough. I'm sorry, people, we haven't got the solution.
one suggestion in regards to shadows. If you're an entrepreneur or you're just curious about this, you're listening into this podcast. So what would your thoughts about shadows? What would you recommend to do? What would your,
analyze more what goes on in your head, and starting with your dreams. I will start with the dream world, because that's the thing that, at least for me, is easier. If you remember your dreams, obviously, if you do not remember your dreams, then realize it when you snap at other people, why you do snap. What are your dreams? What are your frustrations? And write.
Yeah.
And you can also use art. I mean, if you're an artistic person, you are a creative mind, even if you're a crap at drawing, but you have this need of drawing, just draw, you know, embrace drawing, embrace gardening. Just when your mind is actually not thinking logically into solving a problem is when you actually find solutions to those problems. You just embrace your creative side. And also, we've not talked about it here today, but your anima and your animal. So if you are, and it's not gendered oriented, so if you're a man, listen to your anima, and if you're a woman, listen to your animals, which is your soul at the end of the day. It's a Latin word for soul. Listen to what happens in your dreams, and this is crucial. And to talk about dreams, we would need another episode altogether. But
yeah, but I can just say that Alicia has helped me with some of my dreams, and just the thing I think that you said once, which I really kind of found interesting, is write down your dreams, Cecilia, but also remember how you feel. For example, if I was stabbing somebody, did I feel happiness? How did I feel? Like in regards to different situations, just were you stressed? Were you happy? Were you sad? It's just getting these feelings with it and writing them down as well. It's just been an eye-opener for me as well. And just seeing the things that kind of happens all the time. Or for example, for me, like the mobile phone, and it's coming up again in my dreams. And just looking as you write, and just see what are the things kind of repeating themselves. What could this mean? And just so I would definitely recommend the people listening here to just try it out and see. And maybe we can do a podcast, a separate episode, just going into the dream analysis, and just I can share my dreams and see how Alicia interprets them, because it's just a different dimension to the whole thing, giving into like, okay, this actually makes sense.
Yeah, so some people say, hey, I know what that means, but not quite. I mean, I have my analyst interpreting my own dreams, and it's a lot easier to interpret other person's dreams. You're too much in your own crap. So it's a lot easier to get someone to do the interpretation for you. Even Carl Jung used to say, where is my Jung to interpret my dreams? So he would sometimes even speak to the neighbor or someone who he trusted, or someone in a shop, and say, I've had this dream, what do you think? And the person will give his or her interpretation, and will go, ah, thanks for that, I've not thought of it. Because it's not a manual thing, but it's true that dream interpretation, you have to take into account the person's life and the person's characteristics. But then there's also a general mythology, like the collective behind the dreams, because a lot of us have similar dreams. That's why we have Book of Symbols, to analyze archetypal symbols in dreams. And I have from the library a massive one. And for me, that's even not enough. But that's just the curiosity.
Still, it's like all the small things you can just say in regards to, for example, where I'm at in my dream, like the things that I'm actually dreaming about, the things, the people. It's just been like, really so many things going like,
Yeah, what they
Okay, so
mean.
this is,
Yeah.
yeah, what do they mean? What is this? And yeah, it's just brilliant. So let's do an episode of that because that would, I think that would definitely be an eye opener for other people listening in as well. So,
And there's a lot of going on. There's a lot of people out there doing things with dream interpretation. We just have to be careful again, because you need to be kind of have a little bit of experience doing it. I mean, I'm doing it with you because we're friends and that, and then just two or three more people. But it's a risky thing to do as well. The other person needs to be aware of, okay, I'm just going to listen to this, but you don't necessarily have to act. Even with an analyst saying to you, maybe you need to act on that, until you're not ready for that action, it doesn't matter how many times that it appears in your dreams, that you will find the right moment for you. The with the dream thing is that Marie-Louise von France, again, she said that dreams are letters that the self writes to us every night. And I think that's so beautiful, because it's that the self, the totality of us, the unified us, writes to us, to our ego every night, and it's trying to bring to consciousness all these elements that are in the unconscious. And I think that's beautiful. And then after that, you have to keep writing them down. It's important because you can keep trace, you can track them, you can go back to them, you can see what comes up regularly, but also because then you can amplify. You might not get an answer straight away from a dream. I've had a dream now stand by with my analyst. She said, I don't quite get that because it's so complex and it's like a science fiction film. But I know that as I'm dreaming and as time passes by, that dream will make sense. And it might take years. So again, we need to chill with things because it's not an instant solution and it's not going to give you all the keys to your success. It's just something
Absolutely
that.
not. But I think as well, as you said, just start with writing things down and see, does it make any sense for you? What is kind of the things that kind of come up in your dreams many times? Can you just, what is kind of the symbolism for it? And just see, okay, is there anything I can take from here? And you don't need to go to an analyst in the beginning, but just kind of be aware of your dreams. See if you actually remember them, because so many people also say that they don't remember their own dreams. So just starting with that and seeing, okay.
True.
But
Yeah, I'm
now
with
we're really talking a lot about dreaming and interpretations. But like what we talked about today is shadows, like our
Yeah, but
shadow side.
the shadow appears in dreams as well. And your shadow is always your gender. And it tends to be, sometimes it comes hooded, sometimes it's the thing that you're running away from. So the best thing to figure out what your shadow wants in your dreams is to face it. Go and talk to it. Just take that hood out. And it's not as bad as you think. Underneath the monstrosity or underneath the fearful side of the shadow, there's a very beautiful message. You just have to listen when
Yeah,
your
and
ego is.
I think the most important thing is having an open mindset, having kind of as you said feedback, like unveiling projections, the way we speak, listen to the way you speak, or just be aware of what you speak, investigate your the sense of humor, as you said, and maybe look into your dreams. So
Yes,
yeah, I
absolutely.
think that's the key takeaways from this episode. Just maybe,
Brilliant.
yeah, going a
Yeah, that
bit
was wonderful.
deeper.
Yeah, just going deeper, always, always, and be curious. And if something that we might have said here doesn't kind of sit well, just investigate, do your own research, and read. I mean, I read this book that I showed you about Meeting the Shadow last year or a year ago, and I've come back this year for this course. And I can see things I didn't see before. That's another thing. Maybe my shadow at the time was kind of blinkered, or part of my ego didn't want to really go there. And as you said before too, we're not
It's a
ready.
journey. We're all in our own progress, and it's a time for everything. So I think that's maybe what we all should take from this is that we have all our own progress, and we're all kind of doing it in our own time and in our own speed, and maybe not compare yourself to everybody else. It's just,
No.
go into yourself and see what are your shadows, not looking at me or Alicia and me talking about my shadows, so, but what are actually your shadows, and are you actually willing to take a look at them and dig a bit deeper, or do you just want to maybe have write them down and look at them and let them go? That's also okay, but it's just me and Alicia asking you to maybe dig a bit deeper, and maybe you'll find something interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And just by acknowledging that that's there, you are going to improve your relationship with others, which is basic, is in your private life, in your working life. If you cannot have your own peace of mind, if you cannot have peace when you're connecting with others, then everything crumbles. So yes, just don't fear the shadow. Be careful with it, because if this is the warning, if at some point you do any of these exercises and you feel uncomfortable or you feel that something might actually break in your brain, stop and go to a professional, because it's risky. It's not like my analyst says, it's not just let's go and meet the shadow. It's not that. It's kind of dangerous. It's very interesting, but it's dangerous. So we need to do it properly.
And I think for the people listening as well, if you guys have anything like your comments or inputs or feedback to us, please let us know in the comments below or message us on an email, or because we're on our own journey as well. So if you have anything you want to have us look into or talk about or discuss, please let us know, and we will continue our podcast with looking into our depth and shadows, and
And the light.
maybe the lights as well.
The little stars. The little stars. They have a lot of messages. The little stars. Yes.
But thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you, Cecilia, for another session. And I know that I was talking a lot, but I hope that you've enjoyed this shadow, this shadow explanation. And yes, so for everybody else, like, subscribe, follow, all that, share, and yeah, comment. Please
Yeah,
comment.
please let us know if it's anything. We would love to hear from you. So yeah, see you next
Okay.
time.
See you next time. Thank you very much, everybody. Ta-da.
Bye.
Bye.